Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic Community at Stanford University. These are a series of podcasts of Sunday homilies, reflections, and occasional talks given by the staff of the Catholic Community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Nathan Castle, OP, the Director Pastor of the Catholic Community. It is the seventh Sunday of Ordinary Time. The readings are from Cycle A.
Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Do you have an enemy? We have to start there. For the longest time, I would have said no, because in our family, we weren't allowed them. We were not to ever say we hate, and you didn't have enemies. So for the longest time, I thought that I kind of got a pass on this reading because I don't really have an enemy, thank you very much. Until Bob. Until Bob. I was 34 years old when I was first asked to pastor a church, a campus church. And I looked about 14 and was regularly called the altar boy. It's true, I was inexperienced. I'd not done this before, and I arrived at a church. Imagine if I, or if you all, had just given the largest financial gifts of your life to the Catholic Community at Stanford. This particular congregation had just gone from never having a church home of its own, always renting or using borrowed space, to building a state-of-the-art complex. And they only got there because everybody dug deep and made a huge financial commitment to this project. So this church had an uncommon amount of buy-in, literally, to everything that went on there. I wasn't around for all of that. But I began to hear the stories often from people in tears, talking about the meetings where they were shouted at, or where they went home in tears, where there were fights and division. And that's what I arrived to my first time as a pastor, a church fight. At the middle of it was Bob. He had been in charge of the building campaign, and he was a personal injury attorney. He was wealthy. He was very politically well-connected. He was the legal counsel for all the labor unions. So he had lots of people that he could get to do things on the side. He could get apprentice bricklayers to lay the brick and apprentice electricians to do the wiring. All kind of things happened in ways that were kind of off the books. And there was a lot of foment about it. But really, that was more or less water under the bridge. All that had happened already. Except that the people kept fighting. He had studied for the priesthood and left, sadly, from the Jesuits somewhere close to ordination. I never knew the whole story there. I only knew that it was painful. And I knew that somehow I seemed to embody a lot of things that made him mad. Have you ever been in such a situation? You didn't start the fire, but you burned by it. And I didn't know what to do. It kept going on and on. Every day there would be some new chapter. It never went away. There was always some next incident that brought the whole thing back up. One time he came into my office and sat me down and just reamed me out. The veins bulging out of his neck and the eyes popping out of his head. And he said, "You're too young. What were they thinking when they sent you here? You're out of your league. You don't know what you're doing." He hit every point. It was like he could see inside of me and find every vulnerability. And he got them all in order. I used to dread pulling into the parking lot and seeing his white Jeep. because once while I was preaching, he shouted at me. I tried to offer them the microphone. And I began to have all kind of pains. My body began to break down. I began to find that I was grinding my teeth in my sleep, and my jaws were hurting, and my bowels were upset, and my lower back, and across my sinuses. Once he got the member roster, the mailing list of everybody, and he sent them all a 5-page letter defaming me that they got on Easter. I didn't know what to do. This part's the illness. The next part of this homily is the medicine. I knew I needed something. So I started asking around for a spiritual director. I wanted a priest, somebody who had been a pastor. I wanted somebody older and somebody holy. And I asked God to find me that person, and I went to an appointment and laid out my troubles, starting with the financial ones and all the things that I've just outlined for you. Eventually, this kind priest said, "What's the name of your church?" And I told him its name. It's named for a saint. And he said, "Well, do you ever pray to that saint?" And I said, "No." He said, "Well, it sounds to me like you're under attack, a spiritual attack. Do you ever pray to your guardian angel?" And I said, "No." I stopped when I was about 10. And he said, "Well, here's where we begin, Nathan. You told me that you can't afford any help, and they work for free." So he added two members to my staff, both of whom work for free. So I began to study up my patron saint. He said, "Our churches are not named for saints just because the building needs a name. The community needs a patron. The community needs a spiritual force to help it." So I began to pray to our patron, and I began to study all about him. And then I began to talk to my guardian angel for the first time in years. And I got very specific. Every morning I would go through my planner with patron saint and angel, and we got busy. The man also taught me, he said, "There's already a lot of anger in you, and you need to get that out." So he taught me how to breathe and how to, I knew where all the anger was stored. It was in all those places I named. He said, "Listen, think of what your breathing does. It both nourishes you when you breathe in, and when you breathe out, you breathe off toxins. You've got a lot of stuff inside of you that you need to get out of you that hasn't been leaving. You need to bless your breath and ask the Lord to give you a breath full of release of all of this pent-up anger." He said, "Imagine it. It's anything you want, but it needs to be very big. It needs to be a very big amount of something ugly that you don't want in you." I decided on a mountain of excrement. And I thought of this mountain, and I thought of a little guy with a wheelbarrow that took one load with every breath and made it go away. And he also taught me, you can't let a lot more of this anger and rage inside you. And because I'm a little introvert, I will just absorb the whole world. I'll just let it all come toward me, and then I'll take it all in like a sponge, and then I'll start musing about what I should do about it. Well, he said, "That's stupid." He said, "There's many things in the world that are not worthy of coming into you at all. And you're taking in some things, some anger and rage that don't belong in you or anyone else. You need a filter. That's what your guardian can do, filter what comes." So I took that part of it, but then he added one more thing. He said, "You know, you need to begin to pray for Bob." So I wasn't always just angry at Bob. I felt bad for Bob because it was clear that he was not a happy person. That much was clear. And so I began to pray, kind of motivated by the second reading. It says, "Don't you know that you're God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" Well, Bob was God's temple and God dwelt in Bob. So I started saying, "Please go inside Bob and heal the spots where this is coming from. I don't know what happened, but something did. Would you begin to heal those places?" Okay, that's the medicine. Part three, the healing. I moved away in part because I didn't want to stay there anymore. I was at a Dominican house visiting, and a priest I don't even know very well happened upon me and said, "I hear you're having trouble down there." And I said, "Well, yeah, it's been kind of hard." And he said, "Well, are you going to stay or are you going to leave?" I said, "Well, I'm thinking about leaving, and I have this other opportunity, but I think I might be running away." And he said, "Well, Nathan, running away isn't always a bad idea. If the house is on fire, you ought to run away." So I thought, wow, yeah, I'm not burned, but I'm as toasted as I want to get. Maybe it is time. And he gave me the freedom to start thinking of that decision, not about being running away or any of my emotions, but just as an objective decision that I could make without feeling guilty. And I did decide to take another opportunity that came along. I was away for a year or so when someone suddenly died in that congregation, and they invited me to come back to do the funeral. And it was all so hurried. It was a heart attack. "Quick, get back here. Just get to the airport. We'll figure out. Somebody will come and pick you up." So I'm at the airport with my bag, standing there at the curb. And here comes that white Jeep. My blood ran cold, and I said, "They would not do this to me." But he was there to drop somebody off, and he was in the white zone, and there were the airport police people chasing you to, you know, keep it moving. And I thought, he hasn't seen me, I've seen him. And when I saw him, I thought, all I'll do is just back away slowly. And then I thought, no, I've been praying for this man over and over and over. I need to speak up. So I shouted at him, "Hey, Bob, it's me, Nathan." Well, he came over and gave me a great big hug. Even at the worst of times, he always did. Well, I had seen his picture in the paper in National Catholic Reporter. He had been a Jesuit. He was very passionate about social justice. And he had gone to the School of the Americas in Georgia, where a lot of people that have done dastardly things in other countries, insurgencies and so on, making people disappear. They were connected with the murder of the Jesuits at the university that they run in El Salvador, and the housekeepers. And he was part of the civil disobedience to call attention to that. And they were reenacting the murders. And he had this big fake gun with people on the ground that he was shooting. And he was on the front page of this newspaper. And I thought, praise God, he found an outlet. Because I felt like I was on the receiving end of that for the longest time. But he also got arrested, and he had a wife and five kids still at home. And I knew that, and I was praying about that too. And I once I stopped him, he said, "Do you need a ride?" And I said, "No, somebody's going to come and pick me up. Thanks just the same. But tell me about how your trial is going." And he was trying to get the guy moved and the police guy, and he was half in and half out of his Jeep. And he said, "Oh, they're going to throw me away, lock me up and throw away the key." And by that time, he was behind the wheel again. And I was stuck, would stick my head in the window of his Jeep saying, "No, Bob, I really want to know." And he said, "Well, I'm out on bail, and there's another thing going to happen, and I'm going to have to do a little bit of jail time." And by that time, he was having to pull away. And I said, "Well, I'm sorry. I'll be praying for you." And he pulled away. He got about three car lengths away. And then the brake lights came on. And he backed up. He got out of the Jeep. And he said, "Hey, Nathan, the Jeep and drove away. Well, a week later in my mail, I get this packet, and it has a VHS tape about the School of the Americas that he wanted me to show to my new congregation. And with it, there was a little note. This is what it said. Nathan, thanks for the prayers. Your small gesture has healed a fissure in the broken body of Christ. Bob. Well, Bob died a few years ago, but now I call him Saint Bob because I thought that was about the loveliest thing anybody ever wrote to me. And I thought, I would like to be like you, Bob. I think that's heroic, what you did. And so now I ask Bob to be around any time that I feel too small and too weak, that I don't have what it takes somehow. And I ask him to come and be with me and make me strong and just keep me company. And I've asked him, would you be there to greet me when I come home? So that's my testimony. It can work, this business of loving an enemy. Just don't try it to do it on your own. Ask for help. Patron saints, guardian angels, whoever will help. It's the grace of the Holy Spirit that Jesus is speaking from when he longs for a world where we don't give up on one another and decide that we have to write each other off. It really is possible in Christ to love an enemy.
Thank you for listening to Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic Community at Stanford University. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or email us at catholic@stanford.edu. This is Father Isaiah Mary Milano, OP, the Associate Director and Parochial Vicar for the Catholic Community at Stanford and the voice of Catholic Cardinal Reflections. Till next time, God bless you.